The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off and running on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. Good to have you with us. AMAC is back. Hey, that rhymes. On the other side of the glass, AMAC, good to have you with us. Yes, it's good to have you. We have got a bunch of different things for you. No one main obvious thing, at least as of right now, because there's just a bunch of stuff going on. And we'll cover it all, and we'll talk about it all, and we'll take your calls throughout the show. We may have Mr. Chick Hernandez. We were waiting on a golf tee time, according to my guy, who I ran into outside of Nationals Park the other day on opening day, and boy, was he fired up about Maryland. He's a Maryland guy, and he's at the NFL owners meetings, as we had J.P. Finley on yesterday, so try and cover two birds with one stone. We'll see if that works out. If not, we'll be free and clear, as far as I know. You got tonight the anticipated, scheduled debut of Ryan Leonard. I always want to call him Riley Leonard, but that's the Notre Dame quarterback. I can't make that mistake. I always want to call him Riley Leonard. It's Ryan Leonard. In Boston, I'm surprised by that. I thought it was going to take a couple of days at least, but then I was talking to my guy Bernie in Rockville, who knows everything about hockey, last night. And he reminded me, of some things. And it struck me, the Caps don't have any practice. They play back-to-back games tonight, Boston, Carolina tomorrow in Raleigh. So Boston to Raleigh overnight, as we talked about yesterday with Ovechkin and the Chase. Thursday will be a day off, and then Friday night at home against Chicago. They don't have any practice to get him acclimated. So I guess it's shoom, right in. You know, who knows exactly how they're going to use him? Probably on the third line, but don't know. We will see. But yeah, that's a very anticipated debut for a lot of Caps fans. And quite honestly, they need a little bit of a jolt. They've lost three in a row, did not play well in any way, shape, or form on Sunday, giving up eight goals, including an empty netter, seven naturally. So you have that. You have the Ovechkin chase, 890, almost had 891 the other day. They're in Boston. The Bruins stink. They're not the same Bruins. They down year, they traded a bunch of people. They fired their coach early. This has the makings. I put together a three-team parlay, a three-leg parlay, I should say. Washington -1.5 on the puck line. Ryan Leonard. I almost did it again. And Alex Ovechkin, anytime goal scorers. Just to have a little fun. I do $1 bets. I am like the penny slots maker of sports gambling. And I get pissed. I'm sitting there at night, like, scrolling through my phone. I'm like, mother bleeper, Luka Doncic hit a free throw between 12 minutes and 9 minutes of the third quarter. That's the kind of gambler I am. I find, like, the weirdest bets that have, like, some sort of plus odds that I can make a couple of dollars on. I put a dollar down, and I get mad when Luka Doncic doesn't make a free throw in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter last night in Los Angeles. Or when I do a three or four leg parlay, and I hit three, and then one comes up short, and I'm like, ah! I'd rather almost go 0-for-4 and just totally suck than hit on three of the four legs and then lose out on the fourth, or hit on four legs and lose out on the fifth. I don't know. I'm not a good gambler. I try. I do it for fun and some recreation and some competitive juice. I don't do it to make money, but damned if I don't like when I see my account just go, whing! unexpectedly, or maybe sometimes expectedly, because I make so many small little bets, I don't remember what exactly I do. You know, so I got a bunch of different things out there, so I've got to constantly log in to check. Oh, yeah, that's right, I did make that bet. That's right, I did do that. So tonight, maybe you get a debut goal from Ryan Leonard, you get OV 891, you get a Capitals win, minus the 1.5, I think it was, that I got, and away you go. That's what I put a hefty dollar on. We will keep track, of course, of that. And again, the Caps, 2 games in 2 nights, 3 games in 4 nights, and back home on Friday night. So we'll see if Ovechkin can be a goal or two away from realistically having a shot to break it Friday night. I will be at Capital One Arena on Friday night against the Chicago Blackhawks. So very much looking forward to that. All right, so away we go on the show. Wanted to start today, the owners' meetings, as we mentioned, in Florida, and all sorts of rule changes did go through, didn't go through. We'll cover it all. But the one and most interesting bit of news for me that came out of today, I think, is Dan Quinn saying that indeed Brandon Coleman is going to go to right tackle first. They're going to try that out first. Now, we've been talking about that for the last month, month and a half. Even before the Tunsil trade, I think people were kind of speculating and thinking that that might be a possibility. Ben Standig was the first I remember. I could be wrong, so don't get mad at me. Ben Standig was the first I remember saying, hey, I think this is like a legitimate possibility or a legitimate thing. Clearly, I don't think he was just speculating. I think he was told that by somebody on the inside, somebody of authority. So today, Dan Quinn specifically said and confirmed that. Remember, yesterday we asked JP. He said that Adam Peters was not asked about it because they only had a couple of minutes with Adam Peters, and that is basically more of a coaching question. So, again, you knew it was going to come up today. So good on Dan Quinn for announcing it, for ending whatever speculation there would be until at least OTAs and therefore late May. So it just helps us fill in some of the puzzle pieces. Now, what we don't know is whether A, Brandon Coleman's going to be any good at right tackle, B, whether he's going to be able to make that adjustment, C, whether he would be better at guard than tackle. And for those of you that think, listen, no big deal, anybody can do it, it's not true. It's not true. If you can play left tackle, most can switch over to right tackle and with some practice and some technique, learn how to play right tackle, right? It's theoretically an easier position, although not always. And this is the thing that a lot of people make a mistake on, is they think, well, it's like 20 years ago when teams used to have a dominant right defensive end and you needed a stud left tackle, but you could put anybody, a journeyman, a 9-to-5 ham and egger, at right tackle. Well, teams then started figuring out, oh, okay, so this is how we're going to counter what teams are trying to do by the stud left tackle. We're going to put a blue chip pass rusher at left defensive end or off the left edge to try and beat up the 9-to-5 ham and egg pedestrian right tackle. So that forced teams to start heavily investing and upgrading and really bulking up, if you will, on the right tackle spot, right? Everything's a counter and everything's an adjustment. We know this. Brandon Coleman, okay, allowed, what was it, 10 sacks last year? PFF has him at 9. I thought it was 10, 10 and a half, somewhere in that range. I have to double check that. He didn't play the whole year. Remember, he rotated in at left tackle early in the year with Cornelius Lucas, who's now in Cleveland. But then he settled in game 4, game 5, somewhere in that range as the starter and played the rest of the year as the starter. And played fairly well. Played 775 snaps at left tackle. He played 1, according to PFF, at right tackle. Now, when this started becoming a thing earlier in the offseason, I looked and I said, well, he played left guard and left tackle at TCU. Did he play right tackle? And I couldn't remember from my draft process last year and research. And indeed, I have it at 4 games in his freshman year that he played right tackle at TCU. So he's got a little bit of an experience. If I have that right based on what I researched, he hadn't played right tackle in several years. So this is a risk. This is a challenge. And Dan Quinn talked about the move, and I want you to hear it because maybe this isn't going to ultimately be the plan. All right, so good job by J.P. Finley, who was with us yesterday, asking that question, and we had talked about that, and I had a feeling that J.P. would ask about that, and so he did, so kudos to him. And good job by Dan Quinn with that answer. But I don't know about you, AMAC. I can hear a little bit of trepidation in Dan Quinn's voice. You know, we'll start at tackle.
Yeah.
You know, because JP clarified, hey, he's not moving to the right side to move to right guard where they have a hole right now, or a presumed hole, because of Sam Cosmi recovering from the ACL. And Sam Cosmi might have to start the year on the injured list, or the PUP list, or however they do that. So good job by JP clarifying that he was talking about the right tackle spot as opposed to the right guard spot. But as you heard Quinn, or at least the way I interpret Quinn, is there was a little bit of, again, hesitation there. There was a little bit of, we'll start at tackle. We're not sure if that's going to be his position. We're going to see how it looks. We're going to see how it works. Why? Because everybody in Commanders community and all the draft nicks and draft analysts and film nerds seem to be convinced, because of Coleman's physicality, his bulldogness, and his arms, that he'll be a much better guard than tackle. And of course, again, he's got a lot of experience at left guard. Ultimately, I have no idea, but if I had to guess, he's going to be, at some point in his career, maybe it'll happen this year, he's going to be a guard. Okay? But it seems like they're saying, look, we think he's better still at tackle, just like they did last year when they, again, could have played him at guard if they wanted to, and really only played him at tackle, and were willing to kind of let the development happen. Remember, they were splitting reps, partially because Coleman missed a lot of training camp of the preseason with an injury, so that made sense. And then as soon as they felt like he was ready, they cut him loose. And again, he played much of the season. To me, this is me, by bringing in Laremy Tunsil, clearly you've upgraded at left tackle. The idea was to upgrade the entire rest of the line. So the plan right now, basically according to Dan Quinn, even though he did not want to get this specific, and as a matter of fact, he kind of jokingly said, well, slow down, horsey, to JP about Wiley moving inside to guard, because I'm sure they would love to have Cosmi ready to go for week 1. Whether that's realistic or not, don't know. probably unlikely, but I can't say no for sure. But if I had to guess, whoever their week one opponent is, it would be Tunsil. It would be Allegretti, Biotish, Wiley, Coleman, left to right. And there's no doubt that the offensive line has improved. How much? I don't know. But there's no doubt that the offensive line has improved if that's the plan, if that's the structure. And again, Wiley, if everything works out okay for Coleman, and once Cosme comes back, and again, that is very much in question when, it looks like maybe Wiley would be the top reserve rotational tackle with the ability to play guard. We know Trent Scott has now the ability to play guard in addition to tackle. And don't forget, they signed Nate Herbig, who's been a starting guard for some decent teams, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, what have you. It's not a guarantee that Allegretti is going to start at left guard. Herbig might beat him out. So when I say Allegretti in the starting lineup, I'm just kind of presuming that right now, but that's not a definite. So the question at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 to start, for you Commanders fans, is I can't imagine any of you are shocked, but do you feel good about what the plan apparently is? Would you like Coleman better inside at presumably left guard, because that's what he played in college, as opposed to right guard, but just inside at guard, as opposed to outside at tackle? Or are you cool with starting at tackle and then kicking inside the guard if that doesn't work? And I'll tell you a specific example. A specific example that happened about a decade ago here in Washington. Actually, it happened in Richmond. That will tell you and show you, even though it's a different staff, that that's a very real possibility and maybe quicker than people realize. I'll do that next, but you can hop in at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get to the rest of what Dan Quinn had to say. We'll get to a bunch of other Commanders and NFL news. We'll kind of bounce all throughout at least this first hour, if not more. Probably be a little more heavy NFL than we have been in lieu of anything else tremendously exciting going on. But you can hop in at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We'll get to the Nationals a little bit later on. A bad night for the Wizards. Georgetown somehow won. That's right. Georgetown basketball is actually still playing. Hey, Mac, you're looking at me like I have 15 heads. Did you not realize that?
I know exactly why they're playing. That's why. It's like okay. These little tournaments. It's the NCAA tournament. That's it.
We'll get your reactions officially later on. Also, I want to get coming up later on this hour, the NFL did announce something pretty cool, which is so rare. The NFL, which has hoodwinked so many people, the NFL, the richest and most powerful sports league in the world, $18 billion worth of revenue, has some of the dumbest people who lack complete common sense running it and making decisions in it, actually did something that I think makes all the sense in the world. We'll explain. But back to Brandon Coleman. I don't hate this decision by any means. I'm not anti-Brandon Coleman at right tackle. I believe Brandon Coleman can play right tackle. I think he did a fairly solid job last year at left tackle. They clearly wanted an upgrade. Makes all the sense in the world. Understood. It's not that they know better. That was pretty obvious, right? Like, Brandon Coleman did a fine job, solid job. They could do better. I was surprised when they were chasing Ronnie Stanley, who's always injured and who's 31. But as soon as they failed in that bid, they turned their attention to others and quickly landed Laremy Tunsil. So you knew Coleman was moving. It was just a question of to right tackle or to left guard. I would prefer Brandon Coleman probably at left guard. Prefer. I don't expect. I don't demand. I don't think, oh man, they don't know what they're doing. Boy, are they clueless, what have you. That's not where I'm coming from. If you want hot take Harry on this subject, you're going to have to go find it somewhere else. I'm not hot take Harry on this subject, and I don't think you are either. We don't know how it's going to work out. We hope that it's going to work out. It's a reasonable plan. I am a little bit concerned. Brandon Coleman has not played right tackle at any level since his freshman year at TCU. That was in 2020. 4 games. 115 snaps. 1 quarterback hurry. No sacks. No quarterback hits. And this information is coming from NFLDraftBuzz.com. In his sophomore year, he played 11 games, mostly at left guard. 479 snaps. 5 quarterback hurries. No sacks or hits. I think he was banged up a little bit that year. Junior year, 2022, 13 games, 885 snaps at left tackle, 14 quarterback hurries, 8 quarterback hits, 3 sacks on the year. Final year at TCU, 11 games, 720 snaps, splitting time between left tackle and left guard. I think everybody kind of understands that he's mostly been a left tackle and a left guard, with, again, 4 games at right tackle in his freshman year at TCU. So again, it's not like he's never played the position. It's not like he has no idea of technique. They have all offseason. It's not like he's a rookie basically going from left tackle to right tackle and college to the NFL. He's going from the NFL to the NFL, just going from the left side to the right side. So again, I think this will work. But you have to now move two different, actually, you're essentially changing 3 different positions, not 1, 3. Tunsil in at left tackle for Coleman. Coleman in at right tackle for Wiley. And Wiley maybe still pushing for time at right tackle. Maybe the odds-on starter or choice to start at right guard, because again, Trent Scott started at right guard in the NFC Championship game when they could have had Wiley at right guard. And there was lots of speculation about that. So it's not a guarantee that Wiley is automatically the right guard. Right? That could be Trent Scott. And you could have competition. You could have Wiley taking reps, and I would presume Wiley would take reps at both right tackle and right guard. That's a component of this. On top of that, in 2015, Morgan Moses was coming off of an injury-plagued rookie year, 2014, as a third-round pick out of the University of Virginia. Brandon Scherff had been drafted, number 5 overall in the 2015 draft, the first draft of Scott McLuhan, second draft of Jay Gruden. They told everybody and their mother that Brandon Scherff was a right tackle, even though he played left tackle at Iowa in college and didn't play it very well, in my opinion, based on what I saw on tape. That's why they were automatically going to switch him to right tackle, but Scherff was another guy that a lot of the draft nicks and community thought, oh, this dude's a guard, not a tackle, he's a guard. not everyone, a lot of people were convinced by that. The Redskins kept saying every chance they got, right tackle, right tackle, right tackle, right tackle, right tackle, right tackle. All offseason, right tackle, right tackle. We get to Richmond, training camp, 2015. By day three, after starting Sheriff at right tackle, by day three of 2015 training camp, Morgan Moses starts at right tackle, Sheriff moves into right guard, and the rest is kind of history. And both moves worked. And all of a sudden, after saying all offseason, Sheriff was the right tackle, right tackle, right tackle, 3 days in, he was at right guard. So just because Dan Quinn says on April 1st, and it is no April Fool's joke, just because he says on April 1st that we're going to start Coleman at the on the right side, and even though JP tried to get more specific, he's going to start at right tackle. That does not mean when we line up for week one, game one, that Brandon Coleman is going to be the right tackle by any stretch. I know it's a different regime. I know it's a different administration. It's still football. It still may not work. And you heard the trepidation, or at least I did, in Dan Quinn's voice. So do you like this? Do you not like this? Do you feel comfortable? Would you rather him at guard? Would you rather them not screw around with that? That's the question for you. We'll get out to you on the phones. Kevin, hang in there. You'll be first up in the leadoff spot when we return. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, so again, Dan Quinn confirming what most people expected. Again, Brandon Coleman, as you've heard, moving over to the right side. The NFL going to introduce digital technology, which was tried out and experimented with in terms of the preseason as the official first down marker. So now every first down, every spot, the chain gain will remain as a backup, but it will all be done digitally as we saw during training camp and the preseason last year. The 49ers are saying their offseason exodus, in which they lost several key free agents and traded Deebo Samuel to the Washington Commanders, according to Jed York, is in part to take care of and give a big payday to Brock Purdy, which isn't exactly unexpected. Also, the Steelers ownership group, and specifically Art Rooney, said they have positive, quote-unquote, signs about Aaron Rodgers joining them, and they are not giving up and hopeful that that will indeed happen. Tonight, the Capitals in Boston against the Bruins. It is Ryan Leonard's expected debut after he was signed to a three-year deal yesterday, fresh out of Boston College, and it is Alex Ovechkin's pursuit of 895. He's at 890 right now against the Bruins, who are 30-35-9. Caps riding a three-game losing streak. You can hear that game right here. You can hear that game right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app beginning at 6:45. And that's what's trending. All right, along with our guy AMAC on the other side of the glass, be nice to him when you call in 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'm merely the rooster, Chris Russell. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Almost kind of combined my real last name and my fake last name and, you know, the deal. Sometimes the old tongue gets twisted when you don't want it to. It's live radio, boys and girls. It's live radio. We can't take it back. I threw out this question on Twitter, X, Twix, whatever you want to call it, at WrestleMania621. The Commanders are moving Brandon Coleman to right tackle per Dan Quinn this morning, despite a little hesitation in his voice. Nothing that I haven't said on the radio. I do things on the radio first now. Like it? Question mark. Or did you want Coleman at left guard? I said, we're discussing now, blah, 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 blah. My guy Mitch Tischler, former college offensive lineman, loves the big nasties, really studies it, really smart, really sharp. You can hear him with JP on the Beltway football podcast, Monumental Sports Network, and so on and so forth. Mitch just responded, love it. Disco, also very smart, says, I want him at the place where he can thrive and grow and be here for the next 12 to 15 years. Both of those answers make a lot of sense. You know, I mean, listen, if you get 12 to 15 years out of a guy, I mean, that's a hell of a career. That's a hell of a career. Maybe we should shoot for, you know, 5 to 8. But I get the point. Again, I don't know anything other than what I can guess, what I can sense, what I can feel, people that I talk to, what have you. I guess I would lean and prefer more towards him just going to left guard because I know he can play left guard, and his body type and his demeanor, even though he's a really nice young man, really nice. I mean, I've talked to him a bunch. We had him on the show right after he was drafted. Talked to him, as recently as I think right before the playoffs. I know I talked to him right after they clinched the playoffs. A really nice young man. And a hulking dude, but he's got a kind of a nasty football demeanor, but he's not a nasty person by any stretch. Again, this is more of a preference, not a, I know they're wrong. I don't know that they're wrong. As a matter of fact, I'm guessing, I think they'll ultimately be right, and Brandon Coleman will be fine to good. At right tackle. Maybe he'll be very good. I don't know if he'll ever be great or dominant. I don't know if that's a reasonable expectation. But I think he'll be fine, if not good. And I would presume once he gets comfortable, he'll be better at right tackle than maybe left tackle. Where, again, even though you do have preeminent and dominant pass rushers on the left side of a defense, therefore against the right side of an offensive line, you have probably and usually less than you would normally deal with at left tackle, right? That's still the case, even though it's a lot more even than it used to be. So maybe we're looking at Brandon Coleman being good to very good eventually, as opposed to fine to good at left tackle. And if that's what happens, then that's a win for the Commanders and a win for Brandon Coleman. That's a win. If that doesn't happen, if for whatever reason he looks real uncomfortable, technique-wise, confidence-wise, whatever, again, we cannot say that there's no precedent for a quick change early in camp. Not saying that will happen, but there is precedent in this organization. Granted, with a different coaching staff. Remember, that was Bill Callahan. Okay. But I think Bill Callahan knows a thing or two about offensive lines. That was Bill Callahan, not Bobby Johnson. That was Jay Gruden, not Dan Quinn. That was Sean McVay as the offensive coordinator, not Cliff Kingsbury. So, and God, thank goodness that it's Adam Peters versus that clown show of Bruce Allen. But to say that that can't happen, and maybe it doesn't happen as quickly as it did for Sheriff in 2015, to say that it can't happen between now and, let's just say, whenever the opener is, September 8th, 9th, whatever the date is, because that's not determined yet. They could play on that Thursday night. They could play on the Sunday. They could play on Monday. Between now and then, is that a possibility? Yes, and I think you heard it in Quinn's voice. All right, let's get out to the calls, and then we will move along into some other things. Let's get out to Kevin in Virginia, right here in the leadoff spot. Kev, thanks for holding in. How are you? What's going on?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Yeah, I think this says more about Wiley than it does about Coleman. I think they have a need there at right tackle that they don't see in the draft. And I think that Coleman is the best option they have because he's more younger, he's more athletic, and he can cover more ground probably. He probably doesn't have any penalties as Wiley does. But if you could educate your listeners real quick, the perception, whenever I hear analysis, is that left tackle is much more difficult than right tackle. And you touched upon it just before I came on here. But is it because they don't line up their best rushers on the right side, or is it because the quarterback can see what's coming more easily from the right side, so you can have some lower performance there because the quarterback, like Jaden, could evade someone? I mean, could Coleman excel the right tackle because it's less difficult than left tackle?
Yes. The answer
and
to all...
He would do better at right tackle.
Yes. The answer to all of that is yes. Correct. You're right on. And you're right. It is what I tried to explain. But be careful, and I'll say this all offseason to anybody that'll listen. Teams understand that a lot of NFL teams have put a high, high, high premium on left tackle. Almost every NFL team worth its salt does, right?
Yeah. Hello?
Sorry, I'm choking and coughing. I got something stuck in my throat. Sorry. I had to turn off my microphone for a minute. Sorry about that.
Drink some water.
Yeah, I'm trying. Oh, my God. That caught me bad. Oh. Let me regather myself here. So the answer is, again, teams have countered offensive lines, putting a blue chip talent at left tackle and maybe a lesser talent at right tackle by bulking up and putting some of their best pass rushers off the left edge. Like if you look at Khalil Mack and Bosa in San Diego or in with the Chargers before Bosa was cut, they rotated back and forth, but mostly it was Bosa on the left side, Khalil Mack on the right side. If you look at the other Bosa, Nick Bosa in San Francisco, he almost always lines up on the left side. If you look at TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, he almost always lines up on the left side, whereas Myles Garrett lines up on the right side of the defense, right? So teams have balanced out the premier edge pass rushers, which have made the need for offenses to counter and be better at right tackle. And I think that's what the Commanders are doing. Your point about the blind side and what Jaden can see is very important as well. And I do think that will help out Brandon Coleman ultimately. And I do think, and it's an astute point by you, and it's one that I didn't bring up, I do think it's easier, again, if pressure comes from the right side, for the quarterback to see it as opposed to pressure coming from his blind side. And therefore, if you have a little bit, you know, lesser of a talent and a skill set at right tackle than you do at left tackle, you might be able to get away with it just a tad bit more. So I think that's an astute point.
The ideal line in my mind is Coleman at left guard, Cosme at right guard, a player to be named later at right tackle, some stud that we can get in the draft or trade for. That would be and then everyone else would be a backup. You know, that would be the line that would protect him well and would really take us to another level.
I mean, listen, maybe you will get that. Now, I would be careful about, you know, expecting Cosme to start the year. I don't want to rule it out, but I would be careful about expecting Cosme to start the year. But listen, make no mistake, right? Just because Brandon Coleman started at left tackle last year and now is being moved over to right tackle, again, I heard trepidation in Quinn's voice. They don't know, but I would say this. I truly believe if they draft, I don't think it'll come via trade, but if they draft somebody that blows their socks off in training camp and in the offseason at right tackle, that dude will start at right tackle over Coleman. You know,
Now that
player's going to have to be really, really special. And that's not expected, at least initially. But could it happen? And that's why I don't think this is Brandon Coleman's last move. I think Brandon Coleman eventually is going to be a guard. So, you know, we'll see. But I appreciate the phone call, Kev. Thank you. It's a good point. Yeah, let me let you run because I got to hit the break. But I appreciate the phone call. And it is a good point. There's no doubt you can get away with a little bit more at right tackle than you can at left tackle. There's no doubt. And part of that is the quarterback's vision and not coming from the blind side. But again, make no mistake about it. Teams are smart. TJ Watt, again, Bosa, now in Buffalo, formerly of the Chargers. Nick Bosa in San Francisco. Just three guys right off. Aiden Hutchinson lines up at the left defensive end spot. It's not like Brandon Coleman is not going to see premier edge pass rushers. He is going to. 10 minutes in front of the top of the hour on a Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Stay with us on the Team 980. Yes, indeed. Looks like we have some breaking news that was expected but unexpected in terms of the timing, but maybe more expected than unexpected. Jeff Ehrman, who we had on the show last week from Inside MD Sports, reporting that, quote, all signs point, unquote, to Maryland hiring Texas A&M's Buzz Williams. And AMAC, you just saw something that says looks like it's getting finalized?
Yeah, Pete Thamel just reported that they're finalizing a 6-year deal.
Wow. All right, so there you go. Maryland moving fast on this. Good work, AMAC, there on that. I'll just pull up Pete. Yep, there it is. Buzz Williams expected to be the next coach at Maryland. Sides finalizing a deal. So good job out of Jeff. Good job out of Pete Thamel. Looks like Buzz Williams is sort of coming home. Remember, he was the Virginia Tech coach. Listen, am I enamored by this selection? Absolutely not. Buzz Williams is a hard ass. He's a tough, relentless coach. I think he's a good man. I think he's a good guy from what I know. I've met him once, you know, but I know some people that know some people. I think this is a good stabilizing hire. Is this a revolutionary turn everything around hire? Of course not. Is this a really solid, like, land on your feet, stabilize? Hey, I've been scouring the transfer portal. I've been in the transfer portal. I can hit the ground running for the most part. I have a staff that likely will be coming with me to Maryland. So maybe we won't be completely with our pants down around our ankles like it was looking this morning, last night, what have you, in terms of the transfer portal and in terms of everybody leaving, because Gillespie's leaving, Rodney Rice. When I say leave, they put their name in the transfer portal. And by the way, I did clarify, I guess you can rescind your name in the transfer portal and come back to the program that, you know, as long as they want you back. You could rescind, I guess, your status, but there is some confusion as to whether or not, like, you know, the transfer portal opened last Monday. If you were still in the NCAA tournament and you put your name in the transfer portal and you are still playing in the NCAA tournament, as to whether or not you could play for your team if you're still in the transfer portal, I don't believe you can. But there's some confusing back and forth information on that. But anyway, looks like Buzz Williams, based on the reporting of Jeff Ehrman and based on the reporting of Pete Thamel, is going to be the new head coach at Maryland. So your reaction to that, and, you know, we were kind of wondering if this would be breaking news that would happen at some point today. And here we go. We'll get back to the calls on the other side as well. Maryland fans, if you want to weigh in and react, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.